Bad girl. Bad girl.
Bad girl.
Yeah, bad girl that.
Hey, bad girls.
My name is Meesh Maroon.
I've been wined and dined, honey. And I'm dark skin. I'm definitely ain't no racially ambiguous bitch. Let me tell you that.
My name's Zara.
I want women to also take away from casually date, but also have your shit together.
Real bad gal shit. My name is Meesh Maroon.
My name's Zara.
And welcome to Bad Gal Chat.
Being like very organic and stuff like that. Today was so hard. Like this past week has been so flipping hard, especially with producing content, because it's like, yes, people love messiness, but there's also a level of, I don't know what to say, but there's a level of
professionalism or
decorum, professionalism, decorum, and then also information that you want to get across.
Yes.
And feel like when you're in the state of not being quote unquote famous or you're not quote unquote popular, people are not going to listen to valid information that you have to say. When you're a regular degular, people just want to hear messiness. And I'm like, bro, I am trying to move the mess out of my life. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're old. Like, bro, swear to you, when I'm talking about safe space and stuff like that, nobody's listening. You see, when I start talking about how New Year's resolutions are a fraud, all of a sudden, ping, ping, ping. What type of nonsense? Yeah. This is why you guys are in the same state as you guys are in before. Because to be honest, if you guys listen to valid information, then maybe, just maybe, your life would be a little brighter. But anyways, like I was saying before, today has been a hard day. I've been crying all day. Not going to lie. Look, I've been looking forward to this podcast.
No!
For real. Like, because I was just... Bro, school is annoying. That's another thing. School's a scam. Like, okay, it's not a scam, but like,
we can.
That's debatable.
Like, I think it depends on what you're doing school for.
Yeah, and I just feel like I wasted my time at school, and I just like talked to my academic advisor and stuff like that, and I just like just felt so bad. But whatever, who cares?
I'm sorry about that, Eileen, but I'm happy that you joined us despite all of that, you know?
Oh, of course. Like, for me, I'm a very emotional person. Like, I go from, my therapist says this is so bad, but I go from, like, really lows to, like, really highs extremely quickly. So it's okay. Like, I was able to re-gauge and re-pull myself back in. But how are you guys doing?
Good.
We good. Like, the sun is out. When the sun is out,
I know, right?
In southern Canada during the winter, you just feel like,
well, the sun's closer.
Well, I mean, that's true, but typically we don't see it, so it's like rare for that to even happen, you know?
Yeah, I'm gonna go for a walk. Sorry,
I'm definitely gonna go out today too.
I'm not. I hate the snow. I'm not going out for a walk.
Eileen, that's
fair. Eileen, are you in the U.S.?
I was. I just came back. I'm still in quarantine.
Oh,
I'm
okay. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you were let back in?
Girl, I have dual citizenship. Of course they're going to let me back in. Are you crazy?
No, I know you're dual citizenship, but it's so funny because I was looking at some plans to travel. Canada's like, no, we're not letting anybody in. And I'm like, girl, like, I know.
Yeah, okay, the thing with...
Sorry, go ahead, Eileen.
No, I was just saying the thing with that was traveling and stuff like that. Stop listening to WhatsApp messages and Instagram posts, because to be honest, it's a lot easier than people think. I think that the Canadian government is really trying to scare people into not traveling, which is valid. I mean, this virus is
they should
devolved.
Yeah, I'm like, they should scare people. That's my standpoint. They need to scare people to stay the fuck home.
It's not a game. I think as long as you're safe, you get tested.
But here's the thing. How do they know that people are going to do that? Look at that stupid idiot couple who were in contact with people from the UK and brought the second strain here. This is why.
No. Here's my problem. My problem with the Canadian government is that they do these things in response of and not actual.
They should have been proactive, because, for sure. But now, why should we encourage people to continue to travel?
Let me tell you, days has Ford been like, I'm going to put the cut. Ford was talking about putting the province in another lockdown for a swift 2 months.
Yeah, that's because
2 months.
Business reasons.
No.
Right wing in power.
It's true.
They care about business.
Yeah, the thing about it with me is that I'm like, yo, okay, bring it back. First off, you guys should have put these measures in place from time. You guys should have been told. Okay. You guys should have been had
from last November.
Last November, even last year. When
two months ago.
Okay, so it came into, the virus came into being December 2019. So from March, when you guys decided to shut down the place and you guys shut down provincial borders, that's when you guys should have been like, hey, you guys need to be presenting negative COVID tests against the country. If that was a part of the normality, is that
from
right?
Before.
Yes.
From before?
We would not be in this mess.
We would not be in this mess. And then you could turn back so many people. And yes, you should say 72 hours before, right?
Mm-hmm.
My thing is with me is that when I traveled, I went to go see family. So I was going to my
other
house.
And that's the thing. With family reasons, I'm okay with it.
But when you're going outside just to go outside.
When you're going to Cancun.
Okay.
Is that necessary? Unless it's
your you can go and be isolated.
No. You should not be going to Cancun because in those countries that you're going to vacation at, they typically have lower cases, so you're bringing them the virus quite possibly. And how are you going to go? How you going to go to Barbados? Right. Say you go to Barbados for a 5-day vacation. You're supposed to quarantine for 2 weeks. So what are you going to do there?
I'm saying, the way I see people vacationing, and I'm not talking about people going around gallivanting, I'm talking about I'm going to Mexico or whatever, right? And I stay in my little Airbnb on the beach by my fucking self.
There's so much more to traveling than staying in an Airbnb.
Exactly.
You're gonna spend your big money for go sit down. Are you crazy?
There's some people that like a relaxing getaway, just chilling on the beach. I'm one of those people.
Well, okay.
Go to Wasega.
No. Wasega, no.
No, Wasega?
This is not the time.
If you went to that Wasega Beach, Wasega Beach,
This is not the time.
If you went to that Wasega Beach, you can fight COVID.
let me tell you a joke.
You are not prone to COVID. If
you went in the water too, Lord have mercy.
Exactly.
No, man. If you went to that beach.
But she drank spring water, child.
No, bro. If you swim in Lake Ontario, you're not getting COVID, child.
You're radioactive.
No, for real.
Let me tell you, I remember when we did my photo shoot for Turning 21, I went into that water and I was like, I've never been in a body of water besides Caribbean Sea.
Girl, why would you even do that to yourself to go in
water? Because we needed to take the shot. And it wasn't like my face, it was just my lower half, like under my butt.
You couldn't think of like a swimming pool or something? Mm.
No, we had to get the shot. Mish, you were there. We had to get the shot of like the beach.
That was not Wasega. That was Woodbine.
Woodbine. Either way,
what shoot did you do at Wasega? I was thinking.
Oh, no, sorry. But when we touched the water, I was like, girl, this water feels like oil. Compared to in the Caribbean.
Compared to the Caribbean. Here's the thing though, like this is a story about Wasega, child. I'm gonna be very vulnerable.
Don't be too vulnerable. We need to edit.
Be vulnerable. I have a fear. This is a like real fear of fish like around me. Like it's okay if fish are in a tank, but I have a very deep-seated fear of like me, you know, like those foot facial, those pedicures with the fish and they're like nibbling on your that scares the fuck out of me. I'm like, that scares me. So Wasega Beach, right, they have fish there.
Mm-hmm.
I had a full panic attack. I almost drowned. This is hey. No.
Well, this okay, is but no why?
Still.
Why
I still have this scary? Fear.
I know, but why?
Because they're just like scaly and weird. They have a weird texture and they're all up on your leg.
I just don't like the look of them. Okay.
It's the texture and like the way
but
it's.
But you can't feel you. Them like that.
You can. They like bump into your leg and it's just. Ooh. Ooh.
That's how I felt about dolphins.
Mm. That's really? Fair. It's the texture of the dolphin. It's like rubbery and it's breathing.
I don't know. I'm a water liking person. I like the water stuff.
Are you a water sign?
She is.
Yeah.
What's your sign again?
Pisces.
Okay.
Child. But Jesus comes first.
Well, Jesus fish. You are Jesus fish, okay?
But Jesus.
You're a Jesus fish.
No, that's but why, yeah. Oh, everywhere I've lived in my life, everywhere, I've always been less than 10 minutes away from the water. Everywhere.
Amazing.
Like, and that's what like, I want. So that's why, like, when I go and get my own house, I'll definitely, that's on my priority list to, like, right. be near a body of water. I don't know. I just like water. Mm. I like swimming. It just brings happiness to me.
I do, too. Just no fish. I love no swimming.
Fish. Okay.
I love swimming. Oh, my God.
That's the Sagittarius yes. side of her.
This stuff's being afraid of fish. Being irrational as fuck, yeah.
Oh my god!
No, you can be. No, I understand your fear. I was just wondering why.
But it is irrational. That's very valid.
I have. But. What is my crazy fear? Do I have any crazy?
Your mic, child.
Oh, sorry. I'm trying to think. I'm like, do I have any crazy fears? I don't even think I'm afraid of heights. I'm not afraid of heights, but I'm afraid of something. I know it. When it comes, I'll be like, nah, fuck it. Like, I don't want it.
You'll say it. My crazy fear has to be snakes. I hate snakes. And I have a story for it, too.
I understand that one.
Let's get into it.
So, if you guys don't know, well, now you know. I was born in Mississippi, so...
Mississippi.
My... Oh no, it was a rat snake. It wasn't a rattlesnake. Oh, okay. But yeah, so it was just me and my mom in the house, and at the time I was really obsessed with taking out the trash. I know, weird. My mom was a single mom, so I just was obsessed with like helping her out with like house chores and stuff like that. And we lived at a dead end, and at the end of the dead end was a swamp. So I did my daily chore of taking out the trash to the garage. And I opened the door, and it was a big, big, fat rat snake. It was black. Nah. And it was standing up like this. And like, it was wrapped at the bottom, standing up like this, and looking at me like like this, like pointing its head straight at me.
So it's about to attack.
Yeah, I could have sworn that thing was smiling at me. I promise you that was a living demon. I closed the door so fast, and I ran to the back of the house. And I was like, oh, my gosh, like, what's going on? And I'm like, there's a snake. And, like, she gets on the chair and looks through the window of the garage, and she sees the snake slithering away. And, like, my mom's a single mom. We don't have any family in Mississippi. So she didn't know who to call. We called our handyman. Our handyman called the firefighters, and the firefighters didn't believe us. But I'm like, yo, you guys are annoying. But yeah, I hate snakes. I've tried to get over the fear of snakes, like how I've tried to get over the fear of like roller coasters and clowns and stuff like that. I've gotten over that fear, but snakes, I've tried to hold a snake, can't do it. I dropped it. Like I literally dropped the snake because I was just like, yo, I can't take it. So snakes are the thing.
No, that's
especially like around my neck. It's nice. It's
you like snakes?
Oh, I love snakes. I think snakes are bad bitches.
No, you and I can't.
I don't like snakes. I just feel like they're so unpredictable. Like,
I mean, so are men. And we wrap up with them.
So. Okay, but... No. No.
It's true. No. But no, you know what's so funny? Like, I love snakes, and I've always been drawn to them when I was little. And my mom used to be like, you know, those like wooden snake toys and they like.
Yeah. I had them.
Yeah. And snakes, I remember but not I brought. Fish. Yeah. Imagine. Right. That's what I mean. Irrational. So I had brought one home from my dad's to my mom's place. And she was just like, Misha, take that thing out of this household. Like, you know, that's a satanic animal. Like, Jesus, like the snake is the devil.
I
with your father. Yeah, I feel like sometimes religion just clouds our thoughts. Like, bro, I won't even get into that.
Okay. I got a good one. So I don't know if I told you, Toronto be having those demon ass raccoons. I don't give a fuck. They're terrifying. And one day I was working out because in the summer and spring, I like working out in my backyard, right? So yeah. I'm there, I'm working out, whatever. And it literally, that moment where it just turns to nighttime? Mm-hmm. Like literally 30 seconds.
Dusk. Yeah.
No. It's dusk. It's like you were in dusk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it was like, bitch, it's night, right? So I was like, yo, I got two. I got
what?
What?
Like, okay. Bitch, it's night. Okay, go ahead.
That's what I mean. So I had like literally two more sets. That was it. And then I was going to pack up. I'm working out, working my arms. I see this raccoon literally chill, walk across the fucking fence. And then I'm pretty sure it's a girl. I'm pretty sure it was a mother. She stared at me and was like, oh, you're still here? Jumped down the fucking fence and chased me. I literally had to grab. Yeah, I've never told you that story, bitch.
No.
Oh, my God.
How old were you?
It was this year.
No way.
It was this summer.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Lord, so I literally grabbed all my stuff, all my workout stuff that I could grab, and literally ran and shut the door before she, but she literally like looked at me, jumped down, stared at me again. And I was like, bitch, like I hate raccoons. I hate them. I don't care.
You know what else I hate? Poor introductions. We need to introduce our guest, Eileen.
Yeah. Oh my God!
They already love her.
Segue.
Hey, I love that segue.
Eileen, who are you and what do you do?
Okay, hey y'all. My name is Eileen, also known as Inspiring Eileen on Instagram and Twitter. I'm a podcaster / student. I have my own podcast that also dupes as my own YouTube channel. It's called The Therapy of Laughter. It's a podcast about mental health issues with a comical twist and a little spice of like story times of mine and things of that nature. So yeah, I'm just a pretty chill person. I love laughing and I love having a good conversation. So that's it.
Purr.
Yo, that is my favorite word of this season.
I swear I say purr 100 times a day.
I say purr all the time. So when I went to Texas, and my sister was there, and every second she'd be like, yeah, purr. And I'll look at her and be like, I'm like, are you dumb? Like, she'd be like, no, purr, like purr. And then all of a sudden, like, I'll be like, yeah, purr. And then to the point where like my dad, like now he says purr at the end of his sentence too. Like, yeah. Like for instance, we were texting back and forth and he said a statement and he was like, purr.
I said yes.
No, my dad, he loves it. Like we be saying purr all the time. I just feel like it adds a little.
Right.
Oh my God.
Exactly. Rolling Ray is an icon, honey.
I love him. And then my sisters also say, Miss Girl. What's up, yes, Miss Girl. Oh, I love that. Miss Girl. I don't know.
Miss Toler.
Miss Toler. And then there's another one that I love where me and my sisters, we always say, what's up, Mr. Ma'am? What's up? Like, we always, I don't know. We just always like, throw around pronouns like in our house just like for fun and stuff like that. It's just so cool. Yeah.
So for the audience, so go ahead, Azaria. Go.
I was gonna say, how do you guys know each other?
Oh, okay.
What were you gonna say?
I was gonna talk about how Eileen is American because a lot of our listeners are American. So I'm like, we brought on one of y'all so you guys can feel comfortable.
Okay. That's true. Oh, I was just like, I feel like they need to know the meat and the potatoes. Like, okay, you know.
Exactly. But yeah, how do we know each other? Eileen, you can store it.
Okay, so we go to the same school. Okay, I'm American, but I also grew up here. So I spent 50% of my time in the States with my dad and my siblings and my stepmom, and then other 50% with my mom, my stepdad, and my sister. So it's been like living in two countries throughout all of my life. So when I explain the story, y'all get it, because you'll be like, how does she go to high school here and she's American? But anyways, so Misha and I went to the same, no, we didn't go to the same high school, but we went to a high school in the same district. So we went to high school in the same district, and then our district is not really that diverse. So they were trying to make sure that the kids who were diverse had an opportunity to celebrate themselves and be leaders in their classrooms. So they developed a program for basically Black excellence. So mm-hmm. Black student leaders from their high school would go and meet up with each other and create an event for Black History Month. And we would put it together and then present it to the whole school, or not the whole school, but the whole schools, so mm-hmm. whole heap of schools, yes. of the program that we created.
District, yeah.
Yeah. So that's how we met each other. And that our district is pretty big. Like there's over 13 towns and cities in our district. So it was a lot of different students. So we met there. Yeah.
Yeah. And the cool thing about it is it's put together by Black educators.
Yes.
So it's literally like the Black teachers, the five of them in the district, are like, yeah. empower Black youth. And this is a way that they did it. So it was cool. I met a bunch of people. Like I met one of my best friends, Jamaica, there. I met Eileen.
Yes.
There. Yes. Like yes. it was so like enriching, like literally. I would say maybe about half of the people, maybe a little over half of the people that I met there, I'm still in contact with.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah, we all definitely stuck together. Half. Yeah.
We did. Because mm-hmm. especially when you go to school in an environment where there's not a lot of Black children, or not mm-hmm. even necessarily a lot of Black children, but there's not a lot of people that can relate to your passion for Black mm-hmm. history and Black empowerment. Because you, yes. you can be with other Black students, but them not have the passion for it, or them looking at themselves and wishing that they were another color, which was a right. lot of times the case in the school in our district. And it was so cool just to meet up with other kids who love Black history the same way I did, who wanted to be Black excellence the same way as I did, mm-hmm. and wanted to be unapologetically Black in every season, not just Black History Month, but in every season we wanted to be unapologetically Black. And it was cool, and we could lean on each other through our senior mm-hmm. years when we had, like, you know, weird things that were happening to us because yeah. of the skin of our color, well, the color of our skin. So literally, I love that program. If you guys really want to know about it, DM us and we'll tell you if
it's
you
go true. To sit. Especially if you're in Durham.
If you're in Durham region, like that program is the best program out there for Black students.
And I ended
like,
up getting a scholarship out of it too, which was great.
Yes, same. I yes. did too.
So it's yeah. just like an all around, and it's so empowering. And I feel like even today, I'm forever changed because of the program. Like
I know, am too, yeah.
Yeah, it was good to meet each other as Black students, like Black, you know, young people. And the good thing about the program is it was kind of like group therapy, because things were going mm-hmm. on in the ether of, like, you know, Black people being, you know, disproportionately, you know, brutalized by the police and things of that nature. And we yeah. all get together and like talk about it on like a deep level, you know? So
yeah,
it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing, but yeah,
it was so good. Like, oh my gosh. And even I'm thinking about it now, like, I remember when we sat in the classroom and we were talking, and like to hear Black men speak.
Because
in our region, in Durham region, I don't know how I'm going to say this. Honestly, I'm going to be real. To be honest, the Black men didn't really support Black women in Durham region. We were kind of looked at as what the media portrays us to be, as aggressive and non-approachable and all that type of stuff. So I didn't really have a positive relationship with Black men who went to school with me. Mm-hmm. I did sometimes, unless they wanted to get with my friend, but it wasn't like we could talk about Black issues, or I felt like right. they were going to defend me right. when racial things would happen to me. And that was the first time I was able, like through this program, was the first time I was able to sit down with Black men and actually hear them and them hear me. And even with this opportunity of being able to join with other Black student leaders, mm-hmm. I was able to find another program where I talked to these people for like years and years on end. And it's like going on 6 years now, 6-7 years now that we've known each other, which is freaking crazy. That's crazy.
Feels like it was last year. Crazy.
It was like last year. Yeah. 6-7 years, like, bro, that's wow. a long time for young people. That's a very young
it's
time
true.
For young people.
It's true.
Young people switch up very quickly. So
it's very true, yeah.
Oh,
and it's the funniest thing about it is Durham is so small. Like, I already knew like a couple people. One of the guys I knew from literally kindergarten, another guy I knew from Bible school. Like,
it was
Oh yeah, I'm familiar, you know, familiar as hell. So yeah.
It was. And then also, I just want to say this, like, this is why it's so good to look into your school initiatives for Black students and like gravitate to them. If there isn't any, create them, create spaces for yourself, even though there's not a space for you. Because I go to university now, obviously I'm in university, and I go to Carleton University, and there wasn't a Black student association there at all. And I have to say, from the training from the Durham district and how they trained us, and like how the etiquette that they showed us to have, like it gave me a good foundation. And the process, for sure, the application process too, like, it gave me a good foundation to be bold and to be unapologetically me and say, yeah, I deserve this space. I deserve to have an association for me. I deserve to have a safe space. Even though you guys say you made a safe space, I deserve to put Black in front of it as well. I deserve to put Black in front of that name unapologetically and not feel bad about it.
Right.
So yeah, I wish for everyone to be a part of a Black association. It's not cliche. It's not fight the power of parts of people. No, this is a place where you can really be you. I mean, you can be you in any way, but like, just it's really unite, especially, it's comfort, especially in the time that we're living in now, where people are literally, people are literally bombing up the Senate and like not doing things the right way that they should. And like, there's so many hate crimes. People are getting beat up by the police. People are losing their eyes because of the police. Like, this is so, so, so important for you to unite with your brothers and sisters. That's it, period.
You know what? Like, you're completely right, because even like in my high school, we held our very first, well, I shouldn't say very first. Actually, I'm going to say very first because it's Whippy. Black History Month presentation. And I only felt empowered to do that because I went to this program.
Yes.
Like, it had never been done before. Yeah. Like, one of the oldest in the district. Yes. Or was one of the oldest in the district. So, you know, and yeah, it was just, it was good vibes. It was, oh, it was fun. It was cute. Like, it was.
Even little relationships came out.
I was just going to say, there's some relationships that are still going on from there, honey. Okay.
Very much so. Very much relationships.
.com has nothing on.
What? Durham District knew what they were doing too. And little teachers were very meddling in it.
They were. For sure. For sure. You know what? I didn't get my man.
We definitely had our eye on some people, but they.
We did. Shout out Nathaniel, who ghosted me, but it's okay. That's some tea.
That is
some
tea.
Can you imagine? I knew this nigga since, like, that's the one I knew since
from kindergarten.
Yeah. Azari, we're not cutting this out. I don't give a fuck.
Hey, as long as you know.
I don't give a fuck.
No,
for the audience, crazy. I edit, so.
Yeah, it's crazy, girl. It's crazy. And one of the... Go ahead, Azaria, child.
Nope. No, go speak.
Awesome. No, it's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Speaking of dating, how I met you, or how I came to know of Eileen, is that Mish sent me your live. Yes. And I was like, who is this chick? I love her. And I appreciated how unapologetically you were speaking about that man's fuckery. For the audience that... Sorry. For the audience, it was about that guy that was belittling that woman, telling her that she was, what, a 4 or something?
Yeah.
And that she's not a 10, and how she only men want certain women without children, and how she should. But you know what I found funny? Funny is that he was okay to belittle her and say that she was a lower class. Meanwhile, that nigga had 3 divorces. 3 divorces. Mm-hmm. And you are being a dusty, and he does it to men and women, but just the fact that you thought as a Black man you were okay to belittle another Black woman was wild to me.
Equal opportunity.
I just want to touch on the Black part of it too. So the thing about it is that Black people, they need to stop behaving in coonery. Yes, coonery.
Wow.
Coonery and coonish behavior, because it's like, if you feel that you can make your money, or you think that's the only way you should be making your money is by belittling people, you have a serious problem. A serious problem. Because what the man was basically saying was like, basically, she's nothing. She is nothing. She is not enough, because She said she, yeah, her requirements.
She had a $1 million business. Why am I supposed to settle? Sorry to interrupt you. But
no, you're good. You're good. Yeah, for real. And that's kind of what we've been told. Well, I've been told all the time. Like, okay, I'm not good enough for a black man, so I should just go outside of my culture, outside of my race. Like, oh, like if they don't find you good enough. Okay. Yes.
So wait, they said that black men, you weren't good enough for black men, but.
Well, when I would express my frustrations with black men to like older black men, they'll just be like, well, just do what they're doing. Just go outside your race.
What's so basically that's kind of holding for black men though? Because I'm trying to figure out, are they like.
It doesn't mean that you're not good enough. For, okay, because here's the thing, Eileen, right? We've talked about this on the podcast. I have a feeling, how do I put this? Personally speaking, I'm not attracted typically to white men. I'm going to say that to be politically correct.
Eileen's face.
But, I don't.
She's like, I'm scared.
I don't fault black women for being with white men, except, and this happens too often.
She said that on the podcast.
Why do you look like Beyonce's cousin and you're dating a bridge troll? Just because he's white. I want to know. I want to blood clot know. And you know why? It's because people get so gassed that a white man is attracted to them that just ignore it. Their standards just drop. He's white, child. So
no, but honestly, I don't know why black women are gassed with. I don't even know why you'd be gassed, because white men will always love you. You can breathe and they'll just be like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, no, white men.
Ever heard of the Tingon laws? Is it the Tingon laws in Louisiana? It was a law that black women had to cover up their hair because white men were too attracted to black women's curls.
Yeah. I find my relation with white men are a lot more welcoming. Like my interaction with them, like they're more like, hey, how are you? Like I can easily have a conversation with them. Like I know they're kind of, you know, they do not know personal bubble. My experience.
Oh, and they don't.
The white men.
Like, swag is such an old word, but they don't have like, you know.
Soft. Yeah, that swagger. It's not. Yeah,
that's why you got to get a spicy white man. That's what you got to do.
Like your photographer this weekend.
Wait, what?
Cut that out.
You're going on a date? I'll cut it out.
No. Your photographer is a spicy white. Sorry, I was being creepy.
He is. No, you can say that. I was like, what? You can say it. No, he also has a girlfriend.
Oh, does he? Is she black?
You know what? I'm gonna find that out on Sunday.
I bet you $20 and I'm dead ass. E-transfer. She's black, okay?
So, you know what's so funny? I was talking to him and I can't remember. He put like Hennessy and I was like, yeah, like I'm pretty sure you're Jamaican. He goes, yeah, I am. No, but he's like, he's a spicy white man. Like, I loved him.
I saw him hilarious. Rubbing my eye.
Eileen, I'll send you a photo of him. He's a spicy white.
I don't know if I like spicy white. The most spicy I can take with like Caucasian men is probably Travis Kelce. Like that's the spiciest.
Is that the footballer?
Yeah, like that's okay, the spiciest I'll go.
I already know who
like that's the spiciest I'll go. If you're white, I like you in your white state. Like really? You being you. No, for real. Like
last white guy I dated was definitely spicy.
I low-key think it is. That's how like white guys in their white state. Like if you like fishing, if you like doing that type of stuff, like that's you. But then it comes with a lot of whiplash because low-key you might be a little racist. I don't know.
Okay, but no
shit. Wear that camouflage with the branch them, you're a racist.
Nah, Carter. Like some of the low-key I like that in a way sometimes.
You like that camouflage with the branches?
Okay, I don't know. No, I just calm like down. I like country men.
It's cozier. Okay,
so, yeah, I just like country men. Area. I do like country men. I'm not gonna like shade myself. Like wow,
not you.
I feel so embarrassed, but yeah, I do like.
Country don't men. Be embarrassed.
If they're white, I want them to be white. I don't want them to be spicy. I mean, you could know about my culture.
You want a brad.
Some of them are not spicy, though.
You don't want a Jesse.
Like, I want you to be down with the cause, but I don't want you to be like, whoa, guay, yeah, I'm Jamaican. You're claiming that you're Jamaican. Like, that's a
turn off to me.
A turn off to me. Like, I don't like that. Like, when they just do too much, like, you're wearing jeans with me. Like, I don't like that.
The spiciness has to come from culture.
No, it has to come from within. Not even culture, from within.
No, what I mean by culture is not culture like, oh, yeah, I love hip-hop music. I'm a part of the culture. Not like that. Like, you're from an ethnic, like, white
area. Yeah.
You know, I don't know how else to put it.
Like, your babysitter used to play this. White guy.
Hmm? You don't want to date a white guy.
I just
like you want to date an Italian white guy or a Portuguese white
thank
guy.
Thank you. Well, we can't say that.
Like, Spanish in terms of, like, not Spanish, like, Spain.
I know what you mean. No, this is exactly
something,
what you mean.
Something.
You need to have some kind of, you need to have culture. Some kind of spice.
No, like a little bit of, I just don't want it spicy. Not like, I don't want you, you know what it's like? I don't want you to use curry on like salmon. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but like, I want it to come with that. Like, you know what it is? Use your own seasoning of spice. That
what seasoning
don't,
do they have?
Like, I don't know. No, Italian? Italian?
Okay. I thought
Italian seasoning slaps.
I thought we were talking about the general, because I'm like...
Nah, like, if you use, like, for instance, like, I don't want you to use Jamaican seasoning if you're chick, if I don't know how to explain this, but...
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Let it come
with... They like to throw jerk seasoning.
Wherever.
Like, what?
Jerk tofu! Get the fuck!
So, a spicy white I was thinking about, because I was like, yo, like, low-key, like, I've always liked spicy white men. It's just never worked in my favor. I really think
it's
Rory,
okay, don't worry,
like,
about it.
I know I'm not repenting over it. Like,
I've never looked back, and I've had spicy white twice.
I've dated a white man, but it wasn't spicy white. But Rory from that podcast that Mish won't let me name on here. what's it called?
You can say it.
You can, okay, the Joe Budden podcast. Yeah. That was a joke. She didn't actually tell me not to sit.
No,
but,
I just don't like how he...
who, Joe?
He's in sexual acts with his animal, but it's okay. Well,
who, Joe?
Allegedly.
You didn't know that?
He allegedly jerks off his dog, and he admitted to it on the podcast. As well as allegedly being a drug abuser and physical abuser.
Yeah. So he says like he says in the way like he's helping his dog out or something.
Yeah. Like if his dog
is
a guy
actually told me that. Yeah. I had a guy tell me that in elementary school and stuff like that. Like I remember
in elementary school, was he a child as well?
Yeah, he's the same age as me.
He needs psychological evaluation.
He definitely does. He's not I've heard men speak about that around me, but guys are weird back in the day, but yeah. Very weird.
Yeah, he was just saying if his
I kind of just brushed over it.
Yeah, because it's traumatic. That's traumatizing. Like, ugh.
I heard that and I was like, what? And I just like, you know what? Let me just mind my business.
I feel you. Sorry, Azaria. Rory from Joe Budden. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. It just ruined my image of him.
Poor like Rory.
But Rory, he is like the spicy white guy that I like where he's like, he's nerdy and he's definitely white, but he has some kind of spice.
But
not
he's
a
also
lot.
Like he knows things about black culture, I would assume.
That's yeah, like, because he has black friends.
Like, I'm the authority on Negroes, but he knows things about
he's
it.
He's also
he still
Irish
stays
too.
In his lane.
And yeah, he's also Irish, and like I like Irishmen. So like,
I like Irish people. Every Irish person I've met, I've hit it off with so well, like so well. But I heard that they can be a little racist.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has a little tendency of racism. But, like, I was going to say a good point, and then I forgot. Oh, I wanted to say, about spicy white people. 2 points. I remember them now. One, you guys know the show Love is Blind? And the black girl and the white guy?
No.
I don't watch it, but, you know.
Oh, the white guy? I don't.
Is it on Netflix?
He's a little awkward, but that's kind of my type for white guys. And then second, I guess the reason why I like white men, not prefer, but like what I like about them is that I don't feel like they're constantly comparing how I live my Black life to their mothers or their aunts or their sisters and stuff like that, or they're not judging my decisions on certain things based on what they know. They just take it as like, wow, that's you, and they keep it pushing. This is just my experience, because I feel like with like sometimes with my experience with Black men is that, like, for instance, like my hair and stuff like that, like if I do something different with my hair, they'll be like, oh, isn't that gonna rip out your edges, like isn't that, like they always got something to say, like you always got something to say on what I'm doing. But if I
sorry to interrupt you, Eileen, but I feel like a lot of Black men, they actually base their expectations on the women they date based off of their mothers and their family members and stuff. And that's like what's fair. Everybody. No, but sometimes it's like, okay, like, for example. Sometimes
it's excessive.
I'm going to say, I don't think this is nitpicking, but I feel like, for example, like my ex, he has this, he might kill me for this, but whatever. He has this like rule that he wants. Mish, you can chime in because it's your friend. No, it is. He has this rule that like, he can only date a girl that's only he can only date a girl that's like 4 years older than him or 4 years younger. Like, it has to be in that bracket.
That legal. Love him.
But okay, I'm just talking.
No, now it's legal. Now it's
okay.
Legal.
It is legal. Sorry, I was trying to do the math. I'm bad at mental math, child.
Was good, girl. I did it for you.
And then, for example, like, he is very like stuck on, this is how my parents did it, this is how it's I true. Want
to do it. To a fault.
To the you point. Have
to make the mistakes his parents made.
Eileen.
We got into a fight because I'm not going to say too much of what it is because I don't want to put his business in the streets. But
he won't
say,
even care.
Say your parents always gave you candy before bed, right? And it riled you up. But then it just rile you up and then you pass out. But you have to get bare, like, teeth, like, fillings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why this nigga's like, oh, yeah, theoretically, I'm going to give my picnic candy before bed, too, because that's what my parents did for me. And we're like, okay, Kian, how many fillings did you get?
What? This is another thing. That's a, yo. If your parents are divorced, my parents are divorced, so I can see my whole chest on this. My parents are divorced. My dad was about to get another divorce. I can see it with my whole chest because, yes. And let me tell you something. When you look at your parents, yes, they created you, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. But don't use their love or their life as a basis or an example for how you should conduct your life. Especially... if your parents are divorced. Especially if your parents are divorced. Because, like, for real, there are certain things that I just cannot do. Like, you can't, like, no. And even if your parent, even if you think that your parents' relationship is perfect and full of love and stuff like that, don't use that as a framework or like a actual mold for your love to be around. The constructs of your love have to look exactly like your parents. No, because you do not know what's going on behind. It's a different time. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Like we saw, did you guys watch Bridgerton?
I couldn't get through the first episode. I'm so sorry.
Neither could I, but I continued because I was doing things and honestly was good. And basically the moral of the story is that the girl was basing her life off of her mother's love life. And when she got married, she realized marriage life is not what it looks like on the... Yes, it's not what it looks like on the outside. Yes.
As my great-grandmother said, so sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
She said, if... young wives knew what old wives knew, they would never wed.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
It's true. Ahead. Like, no, there's so much other things that add on to relationships and love. And we only see a one-dimensional picture, not even 2D, 1D of what love looks like in regards to marriage and stuff like that. And especially if you're from a divorcee parents, like, bro, don't even fantasize the relationship they had before they got married, because that place, it was crumbling. That's the reason why they got a divorce in the first place. Like, do not fantasize the relationship before, because it was terrible. Yeah. And like, I would hate to be like my mom and dad, who absolutely hate each other. They have a child together and they're in the same and they have to go to certain things that are the same. Like, they have to go to my wedding, they have to go to my graduation, and they can't even stand to sit beside each other. Like, bro, you should never let anybody have that much emotional control over you that you can't fully enjoy your child's life together and share peace and serenity with something that you both created in a beautiful way. I mean, they don't look at it like that, but I do, because I'm like, bro, like, me, can you imagine me and that person? We made this beautiful human being, and we can't come together and be like, yo, like, you imagine, remember her first steps? Like, you guys can't even enjoy that. Like, don't base any, let your love be your love, and don't let anybody else come in that. So, yeah.
Also, I would say too, there are marriages where people are together and are not happy, and they don't show it as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not always, I hate when people are like, oh, divorced people failed at something. It's like, no, maybe the reality is that they needed to leave because it was not working. I have so many family members that are divorced or are not with people. And the reality is like, it did not work. That's the reason why they moved on. It's not always about, oh, you couldn't fight through it. It's like, girl, sometimes you don't want to fight through things.
It's true. Even like with my mom, for instance, right? Like, I was thinking about her. Yeah, exactly. Especially in this conversation. She's just like, honestly, obviously I wanted you to be in a two-parent household, but it would have been a chaotic two-parent household.
Yes, so that's what mom said.
Yeah. So she's just would it be smart for me to stay in a chaotic two-parent household?
Yeah.
Or split and have peace with my child? So obviously it's the second one.
Hey, bad gals, just a friendly reminder to make sure you follow Azari and I on Instagram, which is linked in the description of every episode. And to be shouted out on the next episode that Azari and I record, make sure to drop a pink heart beside a blue heart emoji on our most recent post at Bad Gal Chat Podcast in order to be shouted out on episode that we do. Okay, so at Bad Gal Chat Podcast on Instagram, drop that pink heart beside the blue heart emoji, and we will shout you out on the podcast. All right, let's get back into the episode.
Right. Yeah. No, it's true. It's like, it's very true, but I think it's easy to say things and harder to follow through on them, right?
It is, especially when you're tied in. Like, I feel like it's an easier getaway. I may be wrong because I'm speaking from like a third person view, but I feel like it's an easier getaway when your kids are young, like really young. Like,
I can't. So it's like, yeah, let's go.
110%.
Like, I can't remember my parents together at all. Like, at all.
Same. I have no recollection. I was an infant when they broke up.
Exactly. And I felt like, honestly, I grew up all my life thinking that having parents that lived in two different households was regular. Like, I thought that was ordinary because all my friends around me. Like, my mom surrounded herself around single mothers as well, so that I wouldn't feel bad and stuff like that. So all my friends, like, we all went to go see our dad on the weekends. So I thought this was a regular thing.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like it's kind of like easier to detach from someone when like you just bought your house together a year ago, you know, or your kid is just born. Like, you don't have to have these hard conversations with your kid. Like, okay, daddy's not going to be here anymore. Your kid would be like, what, frick? Like, just go see your dad. you don't have to do all of that. But I do have a question. How does a damaged relationship, like your parents having a damaged relationship or like a rocky relationship or having a divorced parents, how does that affect you and your love life and how you condition yourself to love even now? Like, how does that affect you? Cause I know how it affects me, but how does that affect you guys? And I've always wanted to have this question, but ask this question with other people because
like, Eileen Chat Podcast.
Exactly. We love when our guests, you know, turn the mic towards us.
I think for me, it really makes me very cautious about moving a certain way. For example, as I said before, I am not getting in a house with someone unless there's a ring on my finger, right? And I've seen
engaged or married ring on your finger. Cause you men know like what? To not listen to that part. They'll put a ring on your finger. It'll only be a promise ring. I saw some guy give this girl a ring for Christmas. I'm like, okay.
No. We don't do promise rings in this bitch. Okay. But I feel like and this isn't just my parents. This is a lot of relationships in Jamaican households, but a lot in my family, it's like, okay, wait, to answer your question, I think engaged with a date and deposits. So we know there's a guarantee.
But even then, that was my parents. They had venue booked and everything. Here I come, and then chaos ensues, and then, you know, so it's like...
Yeah, I don't know, because I feel like, I don't know, your parents were a different situation. I'm not going to say, like, the specifics and everything like that, but, like, if it was off of the terms that I would hope for, right, it would literally be, like, issues we'd have to figure out, like, learning to learn and live with each other and, like, figuring out people's triggers, you know what I mean? Like, things that you don't want to figure out after you get your engaged, you know what I mean? Get married. But I think for me, that's a really big thing, because I never want to feel obligated in a situation where I feel obligated to this individual because there are children involved. And because I know I'm one of those people that once my kids are here, like, that's why I don't want to have kids until I'm 30, and people laugh at me all the time.
I said that too. My parents wait until 32. My parents wait until 30.
Mom was 33.
Yeah, 30. And my grandma was 32. Yeah, everybody was 30.
Because you want to live your life first before you having your kids. I have aunts that literally, like, my one aunt, she had her child at 18. And she's now figuring out, she's now living her young adult life now because her child is out of the house. So her and I will talk, and she's like, yeah, you know, I'd just be home chilling. And it's because all she's known is raising her daughter, you know? And like, it's like, you want to be able to live your life yourself, have your triggers, because the reality is that that child will leave after 18 years, God forbid, right? And you're going to be yourself, right? But I think with my parents per se, and I guess my family, that's like one thing I'm like, has to. Like, and also knowing your child trauma, trying to figure out your childhood traumas.
I have to touch on that after. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. No, basically just like knowing your childhood traumas, because you're not going to fix everything. That is a guarantee. But knowing your triggers and knowing how it triggers you, and like knowing if this person is triggering your childhood traumas, because I know for myself, I've been in a lot of relationships where I'm looking for validation in this relationship because I didn't get this validation from my parent, you know? And it's a real situation, because then you're not living a fulfilled marriage. You're living a marriage of lack, trying to fill holes and gaps. Yeah.
For me, just to touch back on what Eileen said about how you thought it was normal, I was in the opposite. I thought it was so abnormal because growing up in a very white area, my mom didn't have other single mom friends. So I was just so used to seeing, you know, people have their mom and dad. So much so, I would always try and parent trap my parents and be like, I remember like every Valentine's Day or whatever, when my father and I like were still, I guess, still had a relationship, he would always like do something like special for me for Valentine's Day. Like we'd go.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah, have like a daddy daughter day, or like, that's probably why I hate Valentine's Day. Definitely trauma from that. And even like if I was at school, like he'd drop something off for me. Especially because, like, you know, I was definitely a nerd child. I didn't get no candy grams, but my dad showed up.
I sent them and never got them back. I'm talking about that on my podcast.
Anyway, girl, me and you both. The fuck? So, yeah. So, you know, he always made it special for me, and he'd like get me flowers and everything. And I remember like one Valentine's Day, and it happened like a couple times, I would be like, oh, daddy, why don't you get mommy flowers for Valentine's Day? Like, I always try and push it. And like when I was with my mom, I'd be like, oh, why don't you like pack some dinner for daddy? And like, it was just like, it's super awkward for them, because they're like, child, anyways. So, but you know what? Like, in terms of, okay, I do think it does affect me. Like, you know, my parents' lack of a relationship, being split up, like, not to get too into it, because I don't, this is therapy of laughter collab, so we want to keep laughing,
Yeah, but, keep laughing. But you know, I get deep on my end. So don't worry. I get deep on my end.
Yeah. Also,
sorry, go ahead.
Don't want to interrupt you, but also you speak about it on your other episode. So you don't have to get too deep into it if you don't want to.
If you're a regular listener, you kind of probably know or know something. But I think, sorry, no corona. With like in terms of like my father, I felt like throughout our relationship that, you know, let me just say, I have very deep-seated abandonment issues because when I was under my father's care, he was like not really that present. And, you know, as I've mentioned on the podcast, he was like very emotionally and verbally abusive. So especially as I get older and like having relationships with people, like I know my childhood triggers, like, and I know what sets it off. And I think it's been very, very difficult to navigate. And thankfully I'm in therapy and I'm, you know, a great therapist and everything like that. But I think a couple main challenges for me in terms of that. One is, I have an anxiety trigger because I have anxiety thanks to, you know, the trauma. One of them is like feeling like I'm in trouble or someone's upset with me, like puts me in like emotional disarray. It's crazy. Like sometimes I can even get depressed over it if I know that, oh my gosh, like someone's upset with me.
That's you too. Oh my gosh.
Bonding. And then like another one is if I like, how do I put this? Okay, so something that's a big challenge for me in relationships, especially my last one, is I've always lived by this Marilyn Monroe quote where she said, a wise woman leaves before she's left. So I feel like a partner away.
Oh my God. I cannot wait to talk after you. Go ahead.
Every time I feel like a partner's like pulling away from me, or I suspect, you know, that there's infidelity, or again, I feel like they're so upset with me that it, you know, we're not gonna be able to be forgiven and all of that shit. I leave. Like I'm a leaver. I pick up and leave.
It's also easy for Mish because she has a third eye, so she'll feel it and be like, well, we're leaving.
that as well, you know, intuition. But I think I have a hard time working things out because I always feel like, no, you're going to do me like how I was done when I was a child. Like that's always in the back of my mind, even subconsciously. I'm like, no, you're going to hurt me. You're going to hurt me. So I just book it. So those are like two challenges for me and they're very, very big challenges. And I also find it really hard to stay committed to people because of those two things. And like, I've spoken about my infidelity on here before, but yeah, it's a challenge. Cause I always feel like, cause I have to use past tense. I had always felt that, no one is going to like be there for me, you know, because I wasn't shown that from my father. I'm like, oh, like men are not going to stick around. Like he's not going to stay here. Like it's just talk, you know, or he said he loves me, but he doesn't love me. Like, you know what I mean? So it's always that back and forth and that tug of war. And that's why I've had this long fear of commitment, you know, because I'm like, how is somebody going to commit to me when my own father wasn't even committed to me. So yeah, we getting very deep, but
I love this.
It's important. Talk about these things.
It's important.
Especially as Black people.
As Black people, for sure. Okay, so there's so many points that you guys made, so I'm going to touch on each and every one of them, okay? Oh, wow. I'm over here talking on this big podcast like it's mine.
No, please. We love it.
Okay, one, childhood traumas. As watching Bridgerton, because they actually talk about childhood traumas in the relationship, and that was one of the things that was really like a big thing in their relationship in the show. He absolutely hated his father, and his father only cared about passing down his name. And he told his father on his deathbed that he'll never have children, not because he didn't want to, not because he couldn't, it's because he didn't want to fulfill his father's wishes ever in his life because his father treated him horribly. And honestly, it was just like a few days ago where I realized, I'm like, well, I knew childhood traumas were important to discover and to identify going into romantic relationships, but I've never been in a serious romantic relationship to the point where I had to discover those childhood traumas. But I realized how childhood traumas have affected me in my daily life. Like you, Mish, I'm a leaver as well. I'm a real leaver. I'm a real leaver. I'll get on a plane and goodbye. And that's just how I am. And it was always because I always had another house to go to. And I was always told growing up that if you don't want to be here, go. Honestly, just go. Just go. And that's how I was always been told as a kid. Like, just go. We don't care. Go. Go. We don't care. So how I was like, I'll pick up and leave. Like, I will pick up and go to my university town, like the town my university is in. I'll pick up and go to my dad's house. I'll pick up and go to my mom's house. And I literally got in an argument with my sister, literally like probably about a month ago. And she got mad because I didn't clean the bathroom or something. And she just started to like be very toxic and like start to like jab at me so I could react back to her. And I'm like, okay, no problem. You don't have to deal with this in a month. Like, I'll be gone. And she's like, you always say that. You always say you're leaving. You're always saying you're leaving. She's like, you want people to fight for you, but you are going to just leave anyways. And I'm like, no, I will say I'm leaving, even though I don't want to leave, because I feel like that's what you want me to do. Mm-hmm. Also, you said something else about like being scared of like people getting upset at you. Yeah, that's me. Like, even like when my dad calls my name, I'll be like, am I in trouble? Am I in trouble? Like, that's the first thing I say.
Same, even when my mom has a certain tone with me.
I'll be like, am I in trouble?
Yeah.
Am I in trouble? So, yeah, I've learned to laugh at it now because I'm like, you know what? That's just me. And I do need to work through that. But it also just makes, like, who I am as a person, because me being scared of being in trouble and stuff like that, it makes me more cautious of, like, it makes me more aware. Like, I'm more self-aware, to be very honest. I'm really, really self-aware. And mm-hmm. I'm really intentional about my relationships with other people, because I don't I don't want to make them feel like how I feel. So I care about the little small things about their life. Like, I told this to my ex-friend now. She's not my friend anymore. But I told this to her. I said, listen, you're all your other friends, when they come in your life, they want you to stop everything and want you to be their bonokunos, their batia and bench. They want you to stop their whole life and you to make your life now around them. I'm like, you are 20 odd years old. You've lived a life before you met me. I want to fit into your life. I don't want to make your life. And that's just how I am. Like, I will make sure that I fit into every area. That could be very toxic on my end, because I do overextend my hand in areas that I'm not. And I'm learning to bring back my hand.
Yeah.
You know, I'm learning to like draw back. I'm learning to make those boundaries, but I am proud of myself for being self-aware and making sure that I make people feel like they belong and they're loved and all that type of stuff. So yeah, I just want to ask that, because like divorced parents or having damaged relationships as an example in your childhood are really damaging in regular relationships.
Friendships. Friendships I've been triggered, you know?
So. Very much so. And I don't like when I tell somebody my triggers and they use it against me. That's another thing, because I actually get angry. Like,
I'm or even traumas. Person. Like, or oh, trauma. Well, it's because of this. It's just like, bitch, you don't know.
Yes.
Let my therapist tell me that.
exactly.
Yeah.
You got to be careful about who you're vulnerable with in 2021. I don't care.
Oh, please.
Very careful.
And withdraw. Don't give all of yourself. Even me for myself, like, I feel like I'm a naturally giving person, just like you. I want to give everything to everybody. But like, and sometimes it's painful because I'm like, oh, like, I want to be there. I want to, but I'm like, no, because I'm wasting my energy. And what's going to be left for me?
Nothing. And let me tell you something. The only time I'm being vulnerable is on platforms. That's why I source myself on 2020. I'm like, listen, if I'm ever vulnerable on anything to anybody, you have to come watch me, give me a view or give me a listen, because
pay
me for it. Yes.
I think it's also scared to be vulnerable on platforms now, because I feel like there's only certain people in my life that I can be vulnerable to. And what happens is that when you're vulnerable with the wrong people, they deter you from being vulnerable, which stops you from being vulnerable on platforms.
And I've even felt like that in this podcast. Yeah. You know?
Can I talk on that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying with that, and I agree with you, but hear this. The people, I don't want to be vulnerable. I can, you see, when you're talking to a person, human to human, humans have different type of connections. So when I'm talking to a person, human to human, you might share more vulnerability than you really wanted to, than you really intended to in that conversation. When I share my vulnerability on platforms, I'm in full control of how much vulnerability I get to share. I can edit out whatever I want to edit out. I can push in what I want to push in. And also, there's certain things I'm not going to share on platforms. And the people who I'm vulnerable with on those platforms, I'm allowing you the privilege to see my vulnerability. And me showing my vulnerability to people who are not worthy of that shows my power, because it shows I can still show my weakness and still show up on my best day. Like that's how I look at it. I'm like, yo, like, yeah, I'm being vulnerable with you, but don't get it twisted. Because at the end of the day, I'm doing it on a platform, on a brand that I
make. And it humanizes you.
People
want to connect. That's human nature. So they can, just like me and you, we just connected on that moment, you know?
Yes.
Audience members are going to do that. So, yeah. But another thing I was going to bring up is having children, because I did not talk about that at all.
Okay.
I'm not expecting. Don't get too excited.
No. Listen, this is a
if you were, this would be shocking.
Imagine if
exclusive.
Fucking no. But, no, and Azaria knows this. I've been very conflicted about having children. And for a long time, I was conflicted about marriage. I think quarantine has made me realize that I definitely do want to be married, and I'm going to be. But I think that having children is tricky, because it requires, as on the topic of vulnerability, we might as well be Brené Brown at this point. vulnerability. I think that it takes a certain level of vulnerability to have children, and that's very scary. Like, I've seen it with my parents, even with both of them, raising me and stuff, talking about things they experience as children to me, or, your child says something and it just shakes you. And I think that I'm very, very, very close to my mother. We talked about this before, and it would break my heart if my kid wasn't close to me, or because some people, I know people who, they like their parents, but their parents are just not their favorite people, and vice versa. They just don't gel. They love them, but they just don't really gel like that.
Yeah.
But I think another thing for me too, is that I don't want to take my trauma or things, even in terms of discipline. There's ways that I was disciplined that were way too harsh. Even my mom would attest to that. She's like, honestly, I was too harsh with you. And I don't want to do something and have my kids screwed up, or now they have anxiety because I'm fucking waking them up at the crack of dawn and yelling at them and doing this, that, and the other, you know? So it's scary. It's very scary.
I would say for that, Mish, to give you, I guess, advice or quotation, I just wouldn't put your expectation on your relationship with your children the same relationship you have with your mom, right?
But it's so hard not to.
I know, but also that's where you have to dissect and be like, okay, even though this is the part of the relationship that's good, there's also these things, you know what I mean? But then I would also attest to you as well, not attest, I have the opposite problem, where I want to make sure that I am going to be the mother, I guess the mother that I never had, probably, or the mother I would have liked to have for the kind of individual that I am. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, I may not be the child, I may not have a child that might have that need. What if I have a child that needed my mother's discipline?
Right. Exactly. You know? And that's another thing too, is that sometimes we're lucky. I think I'm very lucky in my dynamic with my mother, where I was a little, I was a pretty good child. As she said, she's if I knew parenting was going to be this easy, I would have done it so many more times. But I definitely was, had some negative streaks to me. I got kicked out of daycare because I bit a girl so hard she bled out.
Same. I kicked a girl. It's okay.
Yeah, we have a little violence. Do you know what I mean? Okay. So I think my mom seeing my behavior early on, I think that's why she was very hard on me, right? Because she's just like, nah, especially being a Black child, you can't go on this way. And even though, like, she was very tough on me, she, you know, her nickname was Drill Sergeant by my other family members, because that I was literally, like, in an army base with her. Yeah. I think that the type of person I am, it didn't break me, and it's what I needed. But I think if I was, like, say, somebody like Azaria, like, this isn't even shade. This isn't even shade at all. Like,
I didn't feel any shade.
No, like, it would not work, like, at all in any capacity. Like, my mother could not have parented a child that is, like, soft and, like, you know, needs, like, comfort and reassurance and this and that. Like, my mom, I always say my mom's not affectionate at all. She's emotionally affectionate. Like, she's very, like, you know, empowering with her words and you know, is very, like, just empowering and comforting with her words, but she's not the type of parent that's going to be like, oh, baby, she's not that person. She's always talked to me like I am a grown woman from when I was a toddler. So.
But that's what happens when Scorpios raise Scorpios. But your mom, pardon me?
I said, yeah, except I have that Sagittarius dominant chart. So that's where we bucked heads.
You hit.
I'm like, confrontation. Right. She's just right. Like, leave me the fuck alone. Give me 24 hours.
But what's nice about you and your mom's relationship, I'm sorry, Eileen, you're hearing our traumas and, like, all this stuff. What's nice about what's nice about your relationship with your mom is that she's able to sit back and look at and see. Your mom is very good at reflection, like, now, amazing.
When I was I used to beg her to reflect, and she's just like, "Your child, shut the fuck up." She didn't say shut the fuck up, but she just I'll reflect when I want to fucking reflect.
And but that's just because
she's like, "Oh, you're an adult. Okay, cool. Like, you have wisdom enough to tell me what was right and what was wrong."
But that's just because your mom actually believes that. That she's raised an actual adult that can think for themselves.
Yeah, that's true. I was about to say that.
But you know, I wanted to bring something up in that, and it's that I've realized in life, as you know, I've had a holes in, like, family structure. For instance, I'm an only child, right?
Yeah, I knew that. I do remember that.
Yeah. And, you know, my father isn't really present. So I found that God will place people in your life to fill those.
I was going to say that.
Because I have, you know, a friend is even an improper word. I call her my big sister. And it's because I don't have siblings. She was literally placed here to, like, I'm convinced God placed her in my life to guide me, to be my big sister in every sense of the word. And our bond, like, is so, so strong, so strong. And even, like, in terms of, like, being a father and everything. Now I'm about to get really, really emotional, but it's okay.
Go ahead.
This is what this, you know, episode
is. I love this. Vulnerable. Okay.
But I think even, like, father figures and everything, you know, like, for me, I had amazing godfathers, like, in my life. Like, my older cousins, even though they weren't, like, father figures, they were brother figures to me, which I talk about quite often. And now it's beautiful because I've gotten to see my eldest boy cousin become a father, and, like, the way he loves his children is just so, like, touching to me.
Precious.
And you know, I think one of the main father figures in my life was my grandfather, and he passed away 2 years ago now. And that was so hard for me, you know, because not only did he, even though he was, like, a quiet guy, he was in a few words, he was there, he was present, you know, and
consistent.
He was consistent. And because of the work that he did, he was always traveling and he couldn't be present for his children. And I think me, you know, which is probably why my father wasn't present either, because he was used to that to a degree, but for different reasons, you know. My grandfather made it an effort to be present for me. And, you know, just like how you were talking about even financial help, like, you know, your stepmom financially helping you. My grandfather, same thing. And like him leaving the earth has been so like inconceivable for me, you know, because it's just like growing up with that gap, I always felt like I had like a circle with like a link missing in it, you know, and my grandpa was there to kind of close it up. And now that he's gone, he's there spiritually. And I dream of him from time to time and he checks in on me, but it's like so hard to conceive, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I love that. But like in regards to like having children and stuff like that, I look forward to having children. So I'm not really scared.
That's beautiful.
In a way, like I look forward to have children. You know what I'm scared about? I'm scared about marriage. I'm scared that I will make the wrong decision. But I know that in my heart of hearts that I will have enough in me to love a child. But I know that it's very essential to have a good bond first, like a good foundation. So I'm scared that like, you know, I fall for the guy that's good on paper and not good in his heart.
Or that's
I fall
scary. For that, that that's the foundation for your children.
Yeah.
That's everything. Because look at how we were affected by our parents.
Yes.
Like, you know, we need to make sure. I think it was Maddie who posted it. She posted something that literally changed.
It was Maddie. Yeah,
you already know, Zara. It literally changed my life, Eileen. She said, when you pick a partner, pick a father for your children.
Yeah.
That should be the basis of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm thinking of now. Like, next person that I emotionally, like, invest in, next person that I'm dating, because anything can happen, you know what
I mean? In case there's an accident.
In case there's an accident or in case...
Surprise. It's not an accident. It's a surprise.
Surprise.
My girlfriend calls it a whole-ass accident.
As I've said on this podcast, I was an accident. I you know, they were trying to make it to the altar. They were trying to make it to the altar and I came and I moshed up the plan then. But honestly, it happened for good reason.
Because
they were not supposed to get married, honey. Not at all. They couldn't parent for even 1 year.
God was like, me.
If they couldn't parent for even 1 year, imagine a marriage. So, like I said, like, even, you know, you could literally meet somebody tomorrow as young as we are and just instantly know that they're the one. So,
I believe in that.
But yeah, I'm a strong believer in that.
And the thing about it, like, you see, the thing, I believe my mom chose a father, but I don't think my mom chose a love. I don't think she chose someone that would love her in regards to my father.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
My father, me and him, we have our little hitches.
Normal.
Like, you know,
for any relationship of any kind.
They're not even local. Like, they've affected me gravely, right?
Yeah.
One thing I can say for sure, if I'm in the belly of the beast, that man will show up, okay? Mm. I can be all in Hong Kong right now. That man will be there like this.
That's my
mother. My stepmom calls him HR. We call him HR, human resources, because guess what? Like my aunt, this Christmas, my dad and my stepmom were always going for walks. So we were at my aunt's house and my aunt was like, She's like, baby, your parents are taking along. I'm like, listen, she with HR. She ain't gonna get hurt. My mom started laughing. I'm like, no, for real. Like, if you're with my dad, there's nothing that's gonna happen to you. You will always be fed. You will always have money in your pocket. You will always be safe.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, that's just how I am. Like, if you
same with my mom, child.
He will kill
my mom
you.
Will pull up like the mafia, and I've seen it. My mom will make people shake, bro.
No, for
over
real.
The littlest things, people be like,
nah, real.
Like, you can't even shoulder bump me, child. Listen, that's the same way about my mother. Like, we were at Yorkdale one time, it was busy, and some guy shoved my mom out of the way, and I'm like, excuse me. I just like went the fuck off.
Nah, for real. It's
sorry, go ahead.
It'd be like that. So yeah, but I don't know what my final point was that I just want to ensure that I choose a good husband for me and for my child. Yeah. And I believe that generational curses end with me.
I was gonna bring this up.
Yeah, on it. Generational curses end with me. all of this bad marriages, bad all this type of stuff, it ends with me.
Our generation is finishing it.
Yeah, it's finishing, annihilating generational curses. So I will have a good husband and a good father for my child. I don't have to sacrifice one for the other.
No.
So yeah, I look forward to when I have that mindset of generational curses ending with me, I look forward to marriage. I don't want to rush into it. I don't want to rush in. I do want to be a little young type of mom, but I also want to be able to send my child to school without obtaining any debt. So I will take my time as long as I need to. I told myself, I'm like, I will not start having kids until I have at least $10,000 in the savings account before they're born.
Exactly.
Fair. Fair.
Because listen, I do
kids
not
are expensive.
Want expensive. And I do not want my child to go to university and have to get ramen noodles all the time. I want my child to be eating well.
Yeah,
like, exactly.
I don't like this thing where they're like, I have to struggle so you struggle too. No, bro.
Oh my gosh.
I struggle so you don't struggle.
Eileen, my mom, I remember I would like, because obviously we grocery shop and, you know, Mish and I, we have very similar tastes in the finer things of food. And,
of course.
You know, right. Of and course. I would buy my little steak. My mom would be like, why aren't you eating ramen noodles? And I'm like, the steak was a swift $5. First literally. And foremost, the slice.
Even my mom said, she's like, I'm so happy you're not eating Kraft dinner constantly like I did.
Exactly. Because you want your kids to do well. Speaking to your point, I'm not going to get emotional, Eileen, but I do think it is important when it's like seeing the holes in the way your parents raise you kind of really make you evaluate your own life 110%. And I feel like it's so hard because you don't want to dwell on it, but it's something that does really, really affect you. And it's like, how are you? Misha's like, yeah. It's like, how are you supposed to move forward if you can't really fully grasp, especially because, like, I don't know about you guys, but like, I'd be finding out things every day with my family.
Same, all the time. Typical. My sisters and I made a group chat. We just share family drama all the time. We'd be like, did you hear? Yes.
Literally.
And then you're there and you're like, how am I supposed to move forward? And it's obviously, it's not stuff that involves you or anything. Like, well, it does involve you depending on what the situation is, but it's just really hard to kind of move forward. But it's really good to go to therapy, guys. The audience.
Yes, exactly. I spent $1,500 on therapy last year. Am I doing it again?
Amazing investment, honestly, in my personal opinion.
It definitely is. It definitely is.
Better than buying Yves Saint Laurent bag or something.
$1,500. How much is that per month?
It was like, I think it was like $140 a session. I did a lot of sessions.
That's pretty cheap, but still.
Niggas pay that on their phone bill.
It's true. Up in Canada.
I was seeing her twice a week, like, for real. Up in Canada. Wow. Yo, phone bills in Canada are disrespectful. I'm so glad I cleared mine this year. Cleared it.
Mine is being cleared this year. All of my tabs are done for this year. I cannot wait for my bill to go down.
Yeah.
But then I'll have to pay $100. So, you know.
Y'all are crazy. I just buy the phone outright. I hate the thought of having the phone.
I'm doing that going forward. But in the past, exactly. I've been too broke to pay up front.
No, yeah. I get what you mean. I just save it up because at this point I'm just like to but to conceptualize to buy, and this is where the audience will know this is where Zaya is cheap. I am okay with getting the phone 2 years older just to have a better phone instead of paying up front. And it's like, what if you don't have that $150 per month? You know, I just
then it goes to your credit, though. Ruins your credit,
right?
But what were you saying about like learning new things about your family every day? Like, what were you saying?
It's just like, okay, Mish can probably attest to this as well. I feel like in Jamaican families, you just learn a new development every week. And it's not like it's a development, like it's not like breaking news, this happened to someone, you know what I mean? But it's like, oh yeah, this happened like 5 years ago, and you're like,
why didn't anyone know about this?
I hate when it's pertaining to me, because I'm like, yeah, that would have been great to know.
That would have been good to heal my trauma. Like, there's things that I find out about my family and I'm like, wow, this could have really, like, for example, like, with especially parenting. Mental health stuff. Right.
Because you need to know that. Like, our Jamaican families will, like, shield you from knowing that certain family members have or have had
mental illness,
or especially like serious ones like schizophrenia, or like manic depressive, bipolar, things like that. And those things typically manifest in your early 20s. Like your late teens, early 20s is when you start to have like more severe symptoms and you get diagnosed as such. So it's just like, that would be great to know. Because what if I just think I'm going crazy? And I could actually have something that, you know, a family member has had
generational
passed down. Exactly. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Azaria.
No. And that was literally one of the situations where it's like, the reality is like, you not telling us this stuff, it has affected you because you did not know until later on in your life. And now it's going to affect me because I don't know later on in our life, you know? For example, like, I have an uncle that deals with mental illness. We knew from young he was dealing with what he was dealing with. And that affected and helped us shape our relationship with him because, okay, we know he is dealing with this at this time. You know what I mean? When you have a family member that is dealing with another issue, that really helps you, especially like, for example, you have a parent that deals with anxiety. Like I have anxiety and I deal with anxiety very severely because of one of my triggers is my family. I wouldn't tell my kids I have anxiety for ownership, but I would tell my kids, okay, mommy has anxiety. She might have a moment and this is the reason why. Because I know for me, knowing if my family members have a moment because of what's going on, not to negate their accountability, because the problem is that people use their issues for some people use their issues as an excuse to not deal with their problems, right? But just to stay present and say, okay, mommy or daddy's dealing with this because this is what they're dealing with and it has nothing to do with you. The reality is that other people's mental health affects other people in the family. And that's something that people really need to realize, especially in Caribbean households. Like,
you know, it's crazy. Yeah. I'm half Jamaican. So my mom's Jamaican and all that type of stuff. And my dad's, he's like first generation American, but his parents are like Aruban and Dominican Republic, but they don't really count, to be honest. Why I say they don't count? Because they didn't pass down their culture. So technically, I'm all American on my dad's side. Now, my mom's side, I'm pretty like, she's pretty transparent about what goes on on that side of the family. So I kind of know everything that is like a generational thing on my Jamaican side of the family. I honestly don't experience the drama on my Jamaican side of the family. It's very weird. But on my American side, 10,000%, all the time. You know, and it's actually my mom who told me that there's schizophrenia and autism that runs on my dad's side. So like, I remember like I would do things of like having an imagination, a very vivid imagination, or like talking to myself and stuff like that. My mom would like beat me, like be like, don't talk to yourself, but that's just, it runs on your family's side.
So, oh my God.
No, for real. Like even now, like I was vlogging today for my YouTube channel. My mom's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm vlogging. She's like, oh, I was just making sure you weren't talking to yourself. Like, she's very serious about
that. Oh, my God.
She's very serious about that. Like, she's very, very serious about that. What else was I going to say? Yeah, I think it's good to be transparent about what goes on in family and stuff like that. Now, the thing with someone who deals with mental health issues, I think that sometimes people use... they weaponize your mental health diagnosis. So I don't like when people say like, I'm going to talk to you differently, or I'm going to change my behavior so it can best fit you. I personally don't like that. Reasons why is because it's like, I feel like people are on pins and needles when they're talking to me, when they should just talk to me regular, because I'm still the same person that you knew before and after.
I know for me that, at least for me, I'm doing it for the same reason as you, but I had the opposite circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know, Mish, you have anything to say or anything like that? No.
No, not really.
Well, I feel like because this has been, not because I have to edit it, but I just want to say I appreciate this very insightful mental health generational breaking conversation.
Generational curse breaking, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it reminded me of...
Generational curse breaking, sorry.
Yeah, it reminded me of that video that this YouTuber Yanni did, right, about generational curses. Particularly with it was Zunique and her baby daddy, and who was the other person? Oh, Taina, Fabulous's stepdaughter.
Okay.
I have no clue.
Oh, okay. It was very good, but she was literally talking about what we've been talking about on the podcast today, literally about how sometimes we make the same mistake as our parents and how to avoid doing that, you know, because my mom's biggest wish for me is to literally find a good husband, to be in a loving, healthy relationship, and to, you know, she would like for me to have kids, but there's not as much pressure for that because she understands. But yeah, it's like not to make the same mistakes, you know, so that's what we should all strive for. Sorry. Okay. Oh, go ahead, Eileen. Sorry.
No, I just want to say thank you for this conversation, because it's so, when you speak with your friends and the people that you know, you guys talk about your issues, but you don't talk about it from an outwardly effect. So you're not like zooming out of your life and like talking about it on a general aspect. And I really appreciate that, because it really helps me to re-highlight. I've already highlighted them, but re-highlight the morals and the foundational principles that I hold for my life. So I love this conversation. I know this probably wasn't what we're planning, and we're gonna laugh, but in this I find joy, in this I find strength.
Yeah, we didn't plan anything.
I know, but like everybody looks at the therapy of laughter like we're gonna laugh. Like the part that I want to highlight is the therapy part, because the reason why I'm able to laugh is because of the therapy. So yeah, anyways.
Sorry.
No, I just want to say thank you. Do you have anything else you want to shout out on the podcast or anything like that?
What I want to shout out is that you guys can check me out on my podcast as well, called the Therapy of Laughter Podcast. I am on everything. The link is in my bio for the Therapy of Laughter Podcast. Yeah, the link is in my bio of my Instagram and Facebook page.
And it will be linked in this episode as well.
Yes. So you guys can go stream that. And you can also follow me personally at Inspiring Eileen. Inspiring. I'm not going to spell it for you because y'all should probably know. Eileen, E-I-L-E-N. DM me, follow me, talk to me. My DMs are always open. I'm getting better at answering my therapy of laughter DMs, but my personal DMs are always open. You can always DM me and I'll DM you back, as long as I'm not on a social media detox. So, yeah.
Thank you so much, girl. This was such a great episode, honestly. It was so touching.
I'm so happy. I can't wait to have you guys on my therapy of laughter podcast. Ooh. I'm still trying to figure out how
call
to
do us.
The multiple thing, but I'm definitely going to have you guys on.
Not a problem. I'm excited for that.
Yay!
Thank you for checking out the podcast today, and make sure you check us out at badgalschatpodcast.com, as well as follow us at badgalschatpodcast on Instagram. Also, make sure you follow the host anywhere you can, Instagram, Clubhouse, Twitter, wherever you can find us.
Last but not least, as we should say,
fuck these niggas.